now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lane. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. This is Chris Featherstone hosting the show on behalf of Crave Wrestling, as we do every week. Thank you for listening and supporting this show every week. This is our fifth month, and so we're very happy to continue to have this show for you. We got a special Wednesday night edition due to a family emergency. Wasn't able to air on the usual Tuesday slots, but thank you for your support anyways. Chat room is open, as we do every week. Feel free to flood the chat rooms. We'll have some questions going on in the chat room, and be sure to give us a call with your thoughts. We'll go over Raw, SmackDown, TNA, ROH, and the flavor of the week, which is WWE stars that benefit from the WWE's version of ECW. So, real quick, let's go into the question. It's I'll start with a tough one. Who was Too Cold Scorpio's mystery partner at Clash of the Champions? Who was Too Cold Scorpio's mystery partner at WCW Clash of the Champions? 347-884-8452 is the number to call. And thank you so much. We'll go into this week's news. Triple H cuts his hair. Has a corporate look now. It's a bit weird to me. I'm so used to looking at the Cerebral Assassin long hair. And just the hair was a part of his look. And so this just might be a sign that he might be hanging up his wrestling boots or close to it. So we'll see if his hair is played out of within any type of wrestling-related role, because we're so used to him having the long hair. Plans for Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio to compete against each other at WrestleMania 29. There's a little bit of rumblings of Rey Mysterio being the heel. I don't think it's a good idea. I think a face-versus-face Max versus Mask match, but they both wear masks, and they wanted to do the whole multiple mask, you know, building with the most mask type of thing last WrestleMania, but Sin Cara was injured, and Rey Mysterio was unable to wrestle as well. So we will do it. We will view them against each other, most likely on WrestleMania 29. This should be a good match. Bully Ray resigns with TNA, a 2-year contract. And kudos to him, definitely, because I definitely believe that he should be able to have a heel title run he should have a heel title run within these 2 years. I think that'd definitely be a good idea for that to happen. He's been the top of his game the past couple of years or so within this Bully Ray run. And then finally, some very, very unfortunate news during the match between Kane and Kane and Daniel Bryan against the Primetime Players tag team title match. Unfortunately, WWE commentator Jerry Lawler, he collapsed at the announce table and had some heart complications, was stretchered out to receive medical attention at the Montreal hospital in Montreal. And as of now, he's in stable condition. He's active. He's operating on his own. As of the latest update, he actually conversed with Michael Cole, I believe. So wrote an article about I guess I'm gonna explain an article I wrote a little later on the show, but it was basically an article saying if you know saying that if he would wrestle one more match, you know, should he wrestle one more match? And a lot of people took it out of context. It was very sensitive about it, so I'll explain a little bit of it later on about the article. Like I said, the number is 347-884-8452. The chat line question right now is, who was Two Cold Scorpio's mystery partner at Clash of the Champions? Who was Two Cold Scorpio's mystery partner at WCW Clash of the Champions? All right, let's go to Raw. First, we had it was in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and Bret Hart had an in-ring promo in the beginning. I mean, you live for those ovations. That ovation was just unbelievable. It was exceptional. It was Montreal at its finest when it comes to Canadian wrestling and with Canadian wrestlers. And definitely Bret Hart, he definitely deserved that type of ovation. It was good to see him back. You know, I had those goosebumps from the old Bret Hart, not the couple advents that we've seen of Bret Hart over the past couple years. But this Bret Hart, we haven't seen him in a while. He's been off air for a while, and it was definitely good to see him. So kudos to Bret Hart returning to Montreal for the first time in nearly 15 years. Good in-ring promo. Interrupted by CM Punk, who goes verbally back and forth with Bret Hart. And, you know, decent back and forth. It was a good way to give CM Punk some heel heat. I was in favor of it. They're doing their best to get CM Punk some heel heat. It's kind of tough because he still has that cultic wrestling following, wrestling fan following. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So then we got the number one contender pre-show battle royal, U.S. Championship at Night of Champions, was confirmed. And then we got Kofi and R-Truth defeating Antonio Cesaro and The Miz. I guess this is to build Kofi and R-Truth as a tag team. Don't really understand it being at the expense of Antonio Cesaro and The Miz, though. They're a U.S. champion, Intercontinental champion, and I don't know. I guess it's proving that tag teams, you know, as tag team wrestlers work together, are better than two individual champions come together as a tag team. I really didn't understand that, honestly. I didn't see the point of that, but you know, decent match no matter what, and I think that Kofi and R-Truth is just building momentum into the Night of Champions pay-per-view. Then we saw a court order discussion with Sheamus and his attorney and Richard Rodriguez and David Otunga. It was good. I liked the little twist to it. Sheamus had a few funny moments. I think it was pretty cool. Sheamus, you know, he's being built to kind of be a comedic face sometimes. I do like that. I think that it has its benefit. You know, it it enhances, it gives his character a bit of element to it. It colors his character up. No pun intended, but. And so with that, I think that it would be a good deal to keep that type of comedic role. So I'm a fan of that. Then we saw Eve, Layla, and Caitlin defeat Alicia Fox, Beth Phoenix, and Natalya. I had absolutely no idea what this six man was. I was totally confused. I watch NXT, but sometimes I miss it. I keep in track of superstars, but sometimes I miss it. I watch Sunday Morning Slam, and there's no heel turns there. I didn't understand the Alicia Fox. I mean, I watch SmackDown and Raw every week. I didn't understand the Alicia Fox. I know that there was some tweeting going on. I thought that there was the tweeting between Alicia Fox and Natalya. And then Eve, I understand why she was with Layla and Caitlin, because she's kind of playing the overly nice type of character that is going to probably turn her back, you know, so, which is still just irrelevant to me. I just still don't like Eve's mannerisms and just this whole character of Eve. I don't like it at all. And then we got CM Punk and AJ backstage segment, which, you know, backstage segments between CM Punk and AJ are always, for the most part, worth watching. And, you know, it led to something more at, you know, progressing towards the evening. 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Please give us your Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, ROH thoughts. Flavor of the week would be WWE superstars that benefited most from the WWE's version of ECW. The chat room question that nobody has answered yet. I'll give it one more time. Maybe it's too hard for people in the chat room. It's supposed to be some good avid wrestling fans here. The question is, who was Too Cold Scorpio mystery partner at the WCW Clash of the Champions? We also go to predictions for the Night of Champions, which has been improperly billed. I'll go more into that later. The Raw act of choice for CM Punk was Randy Orton. He defeats CM Punk by disqualification. And post-match, he was jumped by Ziggler and Punk. Lawler makes the save and turned into a tag match. Heyman comes out before the match and basically he starts talking to CM Punk and outside the ring, and they don't pay any attention to the match. And Randy Orton ended up RKOing Dolph Ziggler, and Orton and Jerry Lawler took the win. Backstage interview with Punk and Heyman, which is really good. Matt Stryker was trying to get something out of them as far as the relationship between the two, and Heyman was speechless, which is very rare. CM Punk was, he didn't have many words to say. Only thing he said was, "I'm a Heyman guy," and I think that was pretty good, because they're basically, that was a comment that he made before, as far as wanting to work with Heyman. He said, "I'm a Heyman guy." Then we get Daniel Bryan and Kane backstage segments, which is pretty funny. Just continue to go on between those two, which is really funny. The tandem of Daniel Bryan and Kane is just it just seems like it's progressing more and more. That's storyline writing. I mean, that's definitely something that you want to continue to do when you focus on a good storyline and, you know, give us more elements. So it's always good to see that, and we're seeing that with Daniel Bryan and Kane. Ryback defeats Heath Slater. Basically, Heath Slater calls out Zack Ryder again. Ryder gets on the Titantron or Jumbotron and says that you know, he's not going to face Ryder, but he's going to face Ryback or close to Ryder, and Ryback comes out. Of course, he beats Heath Slater. That's definitely nothing new. Ryback. I don't know. It's one of the things. Like, what really are they going to do? You know, right now, there's reports that his push is kind of being really delicate right now. It's kind of going day by day, and so, you know, we'll see. We'll see where this push goes, and we'll see where it leads us. I don't know. You know, just the non direction with certain wrestlers, that they just keep winning matches and not really leading to many places is just not good for business. So we'll see where that leads. Hopefully somewhere soon. The answer to the chat room question, who was the mystery partner of Two Cold Scorpio, was who was Two Cold Scorpio the mystery partner of at Clash of the Champions? He was actually the mystery partner, and the answer to that was Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons needed a mystery partner at Clash of Champions at WCW, and Two Cold Scorpio was the mystery partner. Next question: who were the Eliminators? ECW tag team. Who were the Eliminators? What wrestlers compiled the Eliminators tag team from ECW? Be sure to answer that in the chat room, or feel free to call in, or feel free to tweet it at Crave Wrestling. We continue to appreciate your support. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in with us and listening to us on this special Wednesday night edition. Next, we go to Alberto Del Rio defeating, before then, it was Kane and Daniel Bryan. They teamed up. It was a previous backstage with Primetime Players. And AJ told them that they have not been the they haven't beat every team as far as number one contenders. And eventually she said that they would go against Kane and Daniel Bryan. And Kane and Daniel Bryan defeats the Primetime Players. Kane chokeslams Daniel Bryan on he chokeslammed to Darren Young. And they got the pin. So they're the new number one contenders. And they will be competing against the team of Kofi Kingston and R-Truth at Night of Champions. So it's definitely good to see them together. It'll be really funny. What would be even funnier is if they go against, if they actually win and go against and win the match and become the new WWE Tag Team Champions. That would talk about your strange bedfellow tag team. That would definitely be the strange bedfellows tag team. So we will see what happens with that, and we will see if they ended up. We will see if they end up making it happen. So. It would definitely be an interesting team or interesting tandem to be the Tag Team Champions. Next, we got Alberto Del Rio defeating Tyson Kidd. I guess it was worth it. You know, I guess it was worth the. You know, it's one of those things with WWE that I understand with the 3 hour advent of Raw. I guess that's the. I guess it makes sense. It makes sense, and you know, like I said before last week, every match can't be, you know, one of those main event caliber matches. So that, I want to understand why they just had that match. I'll tell you what, though, from that match, I believe that Tyson Kidd, I mean, he just, you know, he's got what it takes. I really wish that they pushed him to a mid-card title. I mean, I've been vying for Christian to win the U.S. title, and I still do. But heck, I mean, at least possibly Tyson Kidd, you know, becoming maybe U.S. champ once, you know, maybe once, and then, you know, because Christian is supposed to be held out until Bound for Glory. I mean, maybe Tyson Kidd can win the Battle Royal at Night of Champions and beat Cesaro and, you know, lose it. Lose it at October pay-per-view to set up a match between Cesaro and Christian. I mean, at least give him some type of love. I think that he deserves it. He's an incredible athlete, and I definitely think that he has what it takes to become a mid-card guy, at least a mid-card guy. I would be in favor of it. So, once again, the chat room question is the question for the chat room is, who were the Eliminators? ECW tag team called the Eliminators. Who were the two wrestlers that compiled the team of the Eliminators in ECW? 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Thanks so much for your support. Crave Wrestling. Facebook, like Crave Wrestling. And also follow Crave Wrestling @CraveWrestling on Twitter. And next we will go to Alberto Del Rio cuts a promo after the Tyson Kidd match, which I, you know, is not really worth mentioning more, going more into that. Michael Cole makes an announcement, Jerry Lawler collapsing, eventually announces he will do no further commentary for tonight. I totally I was totally in favor of that decision. As respect for Jerry Lawler and for the situation, I was totally in favor with that decision for Michael Cole to cease commentary out of respect for Jerry Lawler. We didn't know the severity of the situation at the time. It's still a delicate matter. But it was still a lot more delicate at the time because we didn't know his condition. So, you know, it's definitely a good thing that was good that he did that. Total respect. He definitely broke kayfabe, but, you know, stuff like this is definitely worth doing that. I mean, kayfabe is out the window with situations like this. And, you know, total respect, utmost respect to Michael Cole and whoever, you know, decided to make that happen as far as ceasing the commentary. Sheamus defeats David Otunga with the Irish Cloverleaf. Just a rehash from SmackDown. Really not that interesting. You know, I mean, it is what it is. It's really not worth going too much into just because Sheamus, David Otunga is just kind of like a sacrificial lamb in the middle of Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio's feud right now, which has went totally too long. Totally too long. Please you know, cease this feud at Night of Champions. Sunday should be the very last time that we see Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio, which is why I'm really hoping, I guess I won't spoil that right now. We will go to the Night of Champions predictions. We got a got an answer of not the correct answer yet. So the tag team of the Eliminators, chat room is answering, but not the correct answer yet. The tag team of the Eliminators in ECW. Then we go to he comes back, and after he defeats David Otunga, comes back, bro kicks Otunga. AJ comes out, and then Booker T comes out and says, "This is World Heavyweight Championship business," which I don't understand, because does that mean? I mean, it's confusing, because the whole split thing, if it's World Heavyweight Championship business, this should be handled on SmackDown. I mean, that's basically the gist of that. But Booker announces that he will be stripped again if he uses the bro kick. Really, it's just one of those temporary ban move angles. It's recycled. It's not original at all. It's just a recycling of the banned spear and the banned Hell's Gate, and they're trying everything they can to just really soak. I mean, just to really squeeze this angle bone dry, and it's been like that, but they're still trying to get something out of the well, and it's been empty for quite some time now. Not interested at all. Kane and Daniel Bryan backstage segment as far as name of their team. Daniel Bryan believes it should be Daniel Bryan and Kane. Kane believes it should be Kane and Daniel Bryan. They go back and forth. The anger management instructor or counselor flips out, and it was good to see him back. Just waiting for Harold to come back, Scorpio Sky. That would be a nice little twist to it as well. Cody Rhodes defeats Rey Mysterio. I definitely think that I definitely think that this is leading to a match at Night of Champions. I believe that it is on SmackDown. That we've seen it on Smack, that we will see it on SmackDown. I believe the match has been confirmed. I won't spoil it for anybody. But based on what we saw, Cody Rhodes defeats Rey Mysterio because Miz kind of distracts Rey Mysterio, and then Cody Rhodes end up giving Mysterio and Miz in the crossroads. That kind of maybe hints to a triple threat match of Night of Champions, which I'm more than fine with. I think it's a really good idea. Cody Rhodes has been really out of the loop with everything for quite some time, and I think it would be a good idea for it to be a triple threat match. Heck, maybe even throw in Sin Cara and make it a four-way, and that would even be a good turn to it as well. Got the right answer in the chat room. It is indeed Perry Saturn and John Cronus. The Eliminators is John Cronus and Perry Saturn. Next question. Who was Rad Rafford? Who was Rad Rafford? He was a character in WWE. But he is better known as another name when he was in the ECW and the WCW. And if you want to one-up me, even let me know what name, what move was named after him, and who started doing it in ECW when he, so who did it in ECW. Then we go to the final portion of Raw. Bret Hart interviews John Cena, interrupted by CM Punk. It was a good interview. I really, really like this part. This is really, really good. I think that this was a good, I mean, as far as a go-home show for Night of Champions, this was just awful, honestly. It just wasn't much build. It seems like, they're just kind of throwing stuff in there. We actually got an answer in the chat room, correct answer, great job. Louis Spicoli was Rad Rafford, and Tommy Dreamer was doing the move. It was a Death Valley Driver, and Tommy Dreamer changed it to the Spicoli Driver. So great job in the chat room for answering that. We'll have another question soon. 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, and ROH. Fight of the week is going to be ECW, the advent, the resurgence of ECW by WWE, and which wrestlers benefited from that? Me saying benefited as far as kind of reinventing their character, kind of developing their character, even people just kind of coming back and getting pushes to just kind of propel them into being even better in the WWE. Lastly, we have, like I said, Bret Hart interviewing John Cena. Bret Hart was good. It was really good. It was a really, really poignant promos between the two. I mean, I tell you what, man, I'm not a John Cena fan, but I tell you what, the guy can work a mic like there's no tomorrow. He does such a fantastic job. I mean, he really has the crowd upon their hands. They were just booing him so much in the beginning, and then they turn around, and he was just saying a few things. Kind of was pandering, using Bret Hart, and the crowd ended up loving him at the end of the night. CM Punk tries to get a blow on Bret Hart once, and John Cena blocks it, and then they do a face-to-face, and they have some distance between each other. And finally, CM Punk tries to get another blow from to Bret Hart, but Bret Hart blocks it and punches him back, and he rolls out. Definitely a really, really good setup to Night of Champions to just really bring that poignant type of feel to the match between the two. I'm a little bored with Punk and Cena, but that was a good idea to have that promo between the two. All right, we're going to bring on our Raw correspondent, Derek. Let us know your Raw thoughts.
You hit it on the head. CM Punk is boring. He's horrible anymore. He used to be all right. He was kind of edgy. But now he uses that, I'm the best champion ever, this, that. So many people have used that, and he's hugging on to it like it's his last gasp of air. He needs to do something or just leave. He's really boring. Watching Raw last night, I realized Bret Hart either needs to shave his head or he needs to get a wig. And what else? Jerry Lawler. Hopefully everything goes well for him. That's too bad. But Monday Night Raw was kind of a snoozer. I was watching the Ravens-Bengals game. I don't like either team, but it was a good game, so I might have missed a few minutes of Raw. But, however, CM Punk is boring, so they need to do something with him or he just needs to get lost. Christian, forever. He is probably one of the best players in the game right now, has been for a long time. My thoughts? Talk to me.
Awesome. Thanks so much, sir. Raw correspondent Derek, he gives us a very good intake on the Raw every week. Thank you, Derek, for your Raw correspondent thoughts. I mean, like I said before, I really hope that Christian gets a chance to be WWE champion before he retires. That would definitely it would be well deserved. Punk is, you know, he's you know, the new tandem with Paul Heyman is good, but I would have liked to see a little bit more involvement. I think maybe they may be a little bit progressive with this, and I can see how that could work. But at the same time, like you want to understand the pulse of the crowd, and so basically, this is it's just something that you want to be really, really sensitive about, just because you don't want to overdo it. So one good thing that John Cena said that was kind of a shoot was that he's using paraphrasing what he said, but he's using a dead man's move, as in the late Randy Macho Man Savage. So that was pretty interesting. I think it's an homage, though, but I can see that. I can see how they play it out, and it was a good little heart pumper, and just the exchange between them two was pretty good. But I'm just really tired of the feud. Speaking of Randy Savage, I'll ask a couple Randy Savage trivia questions. How did Elizabeth get introduced in the WWE? How did she get introduced in the WWE? And if you want to one-up me, what year did Randy Macho Man Savage start in the WWE? We were going to SmackDown. 347-884-8452 is the number. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for supporting all the Crave Wrestling followers on Twitter. Everybody who listens to this show, we get a lot of listens. We really appreciate it very, very much. Appreciate the support. It's just growing and growing exponentially. Everybody who listens to this show, follow at Crave Wrestling. We definitely appreciate your support. Got some cool trivia, got some latest news, and just got some interesting, especially coming Sunday, for all those who are listening, spread the word about Crave Wrestling. Hashtag Crave Wrestling on your Night of Champions tweets. Of course, hashtag whatever the WWE, probably Night of Champions or NLC. We'll see what the hashtag is for the pay-per-view. But also hashtag Crave Wrestling, C-R-A-V Wrestling, Crave Wrestling. It would definitely be greatly appreciated if you put that hashtag with your Night of Champions tweets this coming Sunday. All right, moving along. SmackDown. Alberto Del Rio and David Otunga bring Ricardo Rodriguez to the ring. Alberto Del Rio cuts a promo, believes the bro kick should be banned. Otunga talks, interrupted by Booker T, pulls the audience, a bro kick still legal. Mysterio and Sin Cara defeats The Miz and Cody Rhodes. Booker T and Otunga backstage segment. So Otunga trying to ban the bro kick. Daniel Bryan defeating Zack Ryder. Then the decision is reversed because Daniel Bryan wouldn't let go of the hold. Randy Orton defeats Damian Sandow by countout. Damian Sandow basically just runs out. Orton and Ziggler fights post-match. Damian Sandow tries to come behind Randy Orton to attack him and eventually gets RKO'd for his efforts. Primetime Players defeats Primo Nepico and the Usos to become the then number one contenders. Ziggler demands a match at Night of Champions to Teddy Long. Long said that he will advise Booker T to make it happen. Wade Barrett debut this past SmackDown, defeating Yoshitatsu. Sheamus defeating David Otunga. Booker T bans bro kick before he does it on Otunga, and so Sheamus wins with the Irish Cloverleaf. Not much more going on. I actually wrote an article on Bleacher Report earlier this week. Talking about, is the 3-hour Raw a hindrance, or is it a hurting SmackDown? Because it just seems like there's not a unique element to SmackDown much anymore. I mean, I'm going to use Raw correspondent Derek's term, a snoozer, so to speak. I mean, I love wrestling. I'm a journalist. I keep track of it, for my enjoyment and also for work purposes. But I really don't. I mean, if I was a casual fan, I really wouldn't be too intrigued on SmackDown. I would encourage everybody to watch it just because I'm an avid wrestling fan. But I mean, it's not really doing much. It's not really giving us any type of unique brand, unique element to professional wrestling or just to leading to the pay-per-view. And I said this on my – I was mentioning this on my article. It doesn't – I mean, maybe the three-hour wall, maybe the draft, I mean, the lack of the draft, maybe one of those factors – but regardless of what it is, I mean, it just seems like the booking isn't innovative on SmackDown anymore. I like the Booker T's the general manager, but we see a ton of Raw recaps every week. Seems like maybe a third of the whole show is just recapping Raw. I know that SmackDown's the B show, but even when they had the draft, they would have like a Raw rebound. And it was just like maybe, 30 seconds to a minute of what happened on Raw. And that was basically it. But now we just see a bunch of recaps, and then the social media touts and stuff like that. And just, I don't know. It just needs to be a little bit more unique and innovative on SmackDown. They need to do that fast because it seems like their stock is diminishing a little bit. With that being said, going back to Wade Barrett's debut, I mean the vignettes before he debuted was incredible. It was really good. It was really rugged. It was a really good feel to see Wade Barrett come back. To me, it fell flat when they chose Yoshitatsu. I mean, no disrespect to Yoshitatsu. I like the guy, but I mean, to pump up Wade Barrett as a bare knuckle champion, beard look, really rugged, and then to fight someone like Yoshitatsu, it was awkward to me. It was a weird match. He had a weird finisher now, and I don't really think of I don't know if the music fits him. I wonder if he's going to do the whole little short-armed type of elbow smash or something. I mean, it was just really weird. I don't know if the music fits them. I mean, I had enough. We are in the days with the core hat and just kind of stuck on him. To me, that's been his best music so far. And just a couple of the one that he had before he got injured and this one now is definitely doesn't fit Wade Barrett. So 347-884-8452. We will accept calls if applicable, or you can just log on to the chat room. Answer for Randy Savage, 1985 is in the chat room. That is correct. One of the answers is he offered her the management spot after interviewing all the other managers. I'll accept that. She was the chosen one. There's a bunch of managers in the ring, and she was the chosen manager. Who did Randy Savage beat to win his first Intercontinental Championship? That is the next Randy Savage trivia question. Who did he defeat to win his first Intercontinental Championship? Next, we will go to Impact Wrestling, and eventually go to No Surrender real quick. Jeff Hardy defeats Samoa Joe for the Bound for Glory series. Actually makes him tap to get 10 points. Samoa Joe interview interrupted by Magnus. AJ eliminated from the tag team title match. Because they're doing like Championship Thursday. They have their open fight night, but they're kind of doing the whole championship element of the open fight night alone and making it Championship Thursday, which I think is a good idea. It seems like TNA has very innovative ideas now. I like it. And they just got to make sure to be really, really safe and really specific and knowing what to do with those things, with those angles. So we'll see. And hopefully it works out for the best for them. Then we see Brooke Hogan gives Victoria number one contender spot because she beats Miss Tessmacher at the latest open fight night. Gil Kim comes in, interrupts Brooke, books Gil versus Tara, and Tara end up defeating Gil Kim. Actually, we got a call going on. We'll take this call. Let us know your name, what city you're from, and your thoughts.
Hey, my name's Matthew. I'm from Sacramento, California. And
hey, what's going on, Matthew?
Pretty good, pretty good. How are you?
Good, good.
Good. Yeah, I seen the number on Bleacher Report, and I just wanted your thoughts on if Sheamus, fails to get over to the mass audience as the top babyface once Cena's gone, what direction do you see the WWE going into as far as the top babyface is concerned?
Thanks for your call. That's a really good question. Let me answer that. So Cena leaves, and Sheamus doesn't go over as the top face. So say 3-4 years from now, Cena kind of bears it down a little bit. It's a really good question because there's been such a lack of baby faces for the past year or so. If I would pick one person to become that guy as far as a face is concerned, I can see another CM Punk run as a face. I can definitely see that. I can see him taking the reins. Randy Orton would probably be on his way out with John Cena. I would say if Sheamus doesn't if Sheamus doesn't go over and Cena leaves, I would give it to, as far as let's go the Miz. Let's go 3 or 4 years from now. The Miz will be a baby face, and he will take the reins as a top baby face in 3 years' time. Got another call. Name, city you're from, and your thoughts. Hello, you're on air? Hello? All right, be sure to know when you are being selected. We definitely choose, we get calls in, and if you're chosen, be sure to be alert to know that you are on the air. But thanks for your calls anyways. Feel free to keep calling 347-884-8452. Going back to Impact Wrestling. Al Snow in ring interview calls out Joey Ryan, which was declined a contract a few gut checks ago. But it seems like it's a work, and I think Hulk Hogan kind of alluded to that, maybe not purposely, but he did kind of allude to that. And he did, and so there's a work. It looks like there's probably a Bound for Glory match setting up for Al Snow and Joey Ryan. Al Snow tells Ryan if he wants a gut check, he has a spot but Ryan accepts. Al Snow tells him that it's going to be against him. So I don't know if this is Impact Wrestling. I don't know if this is for Bound for Glory. Well, I guess we'll just have to see. Harry starts talking to back to TV personnel Turncoat. We got Gunner and Kid Cash eliminated from the tag team title match. Bully Ray defeats RVD. Austin Aries talks to Turncoat. Hogan comes and slaps him along with Aries. Aces and Eights calls out Hogan, makes a deal to trade Turncoat for a guy who broke Aries' arm and to fight him at No Surrender. Real quick, Tito Santana is the correct answer. We got an answer in the chat room. Tito Santana was the first person that Randy Savage did beat to win the Intercontinental Championship. Who was Randy Savage? Who did Randy Savage defeat to win his first WWE Championship? And if you want to one-up me, you can definitely let me know what was the conditions of that match. What was it? Like, what was it, a singles match? Was it a multiple-person match? Was it a tournament? Was it a cage match? What was it? So then we go, and that was quick. Already in the chat room, I got Ted DiBiase at the WrestleMania 4 tournament. That's a great job, chat room. Great job. Okay, so how about this? Who did Randy Savage defeat to win his first WCW title? That's the next Randy Savage question. Who did Randy Savage defeat to win his first WCW title? Seems like WWE title was easy. Ted DiBiase, WrestleMania 4 tournament. That is correct. Who did he beat to win his first WCW title? On to TNA Impact Wrestling here. James Storm chooses Bully Ray to compete in opener at No Surrender. RVD backstage interview interrupted by Magnus. Daniels and Kazarian defeats Chavo and Hernandez. Chavo Hernandez is chosen to go against them. Hogan comes out, books Daniels and Kazarian against Styles and Angle at No Surrender, which was a bit of a scare because Angle was injured this past weekend, but he did manage to wrestle at No Surrender. We'll go to those results in a few here. Aries brings out Turncoat. No one comes out from Aces and Eights until Aries starts beating up Turncoat and agreed to give info. Big Man, the arm breaker, quote unquote, comes out, hits Turncoat with a mallet, and fights Aries. I like this. I like what they're doing with this. The thing is, I guess we'll get to the No Surrender, because I have a bit of a bone to pick with TNA as far as the progression of the Aces and Eights. We'll go to the results here. Jeff Hardy defeated Samoa Joe. Bully Ray defeats James Storm. So Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray advance to the finals. For the Women's Knockout Championship, Tessmacher defeats Tara. Austin Aries fights the arm breaker of the Aces and Eights to a no contest. For the X Division Championship, Zema I defeated Sanjay Dutt. Good to see him back. TNA World Tag Team Championship, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian defeats AJ Styles and Kurt Angle. Glad that they're keeping the belts on them. Really, they need it heading to Bound for Glory. They're a really good tag team. I like Daniels and Kazarian a lot as far as their tag team is concerned. And then the Bound for Glory series final was Jeff Hardy defeating Bully Ray. Now, I understand the point of the Bound for Glory series final for No Surrender. I understand it's been like that. I mean, it was like that last year. I get it. I don't know. There's a part of me that wished that we would have seen either a world title match or at least the mastermind behind Aces and Eights, because their WrestleMania caliber pay-per-view is Bound for Glory next October, so that's their next pay-per-view. So it definitely would have been a lot better to see them unveil the leader behind Aces and Eights so they can just work their way up as an angle. So it would have been a little better, but, you know, We'll see if it's built up right, leading into Bound for Glory. Real quick, ROH, we saw Briscoe's defeating Blackout. Black G's was also on WWE and TNA. He was one of the people in the X Division tournament. He was also one of the jobbers for Ryback. Max Sydal defeats Mike Bennett by countout. Distraction by Mike Mondo. Kisses Maria. Tommaso Ciampa defeats Mike Posey. Adam Cole and Marco Eklund ended up in a melee involving Scum, Elgin Strong, Guardians of Truth, and Rhino, leading into the pay-per-view between Rhino and Kevin Steen for the world title. All right. Real quick, we'll do the Night of Champions predictions and then a real quick flavor of the week here. The matches that are confirmed right now, pre-show battle royal to name the number one contender to U.S. champion Antonio Cesaro. We don't know who's in the battle royal, so I can't really make a prediction of that. No matter what, I believe Cesaro will keep the U.S. title. Divas champion Layla versus Caitlyn. Layla wins this. Maybe some Eve involvement. I'd imagine that he would have some involvement. Tag team champions R-Truth and Kofi Kingston against Kane and Daniel Bryan. Man, this is a tough one. Truth and Kofi hasn't made much of an impression for the tag team titles. I guess it would enhance the storyline if Kane and Daniel Bryan was tag team champion. So I'm going to go Kane and Daniel Bryan. Orton versus Ziggler. Orton wins, but we won't see the last of Ziggler because the next match I'm going to predict is Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio. Sheamus will beat Alberto Del Rio, but I do believe that this will be the night that Dolph Ziggler cashed in the Money in the Bank. I think I've said that every pay-per-view, but I think this is the night. This is the night that Dolph Ziggler cashes in the Money in the Bank Money in the Bank briefcase and defeats Sheamus for the World Heavyweight Championship. I sure hope so. I think that would be a great idea. CM Punk and John Cena in Boston. Cena wins. He becomes world champion again, and it's just a matter of a title changing hands to extend the feud. If Punk kept the title, it would make the feud a little bit more sour, which I already think it is. But so, you know, that's basically what we will see at Night of Champions, I believe. Not really good, but I do think that we'll see, like I said, I don't want to spoil it for you, but we will see an Intercontinental title match, which I believe The Miz will retain it. Real quick, flavor of the week. Thanks so much, everybody, for your support. Just great every week. Just continue to grow and grow. 347-884-8452 is the number to keep in your back pocket. Follow Crave Wrestling at Crave Wrestling. And we will also read your tweets and shows as well. Like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. And check out my articles on Bleacher Report. But real quick, the Jerry Lawler article that I wrote. There was a lot of criticizing comments about it being too short. I mean, distasteful as far as it being too soon and things like that. One thing you have to realize is that Jerry Lawler is in stable condition. Okay. Looks like the recovery is going to be well, and he will be back on his feet. He will be back in good condition. God willing, our thoughts and prayers are definitely with him. We're definitely hoping not a turn for the worse, but as of right now, it looks like he's heading into optimal condition again to get back behind the announce table. One thing you have to realize is that Jerry Lawler wrestles independent shows a couple times, at least probably about four times a month or so, at least about three, four times a month, at least. He's still heavily involved with Memphis Wrestling. You know, he still is in the indie circuit. So the WWE version that you see from Jerry Lawler isn't the only Jerry Lawler that, you know, other people see throughout the week. He is still an active wrestler. He still wrestles independent shows. So Jerry Lawler, when he gets back into good condition, there's a really good chance that he's still going to want to wrestle. Even Ric Flair made a comment, who has been interviewed on a television show, about the whole situation. He was saying that you can't stop someone doing what they love to do. When he gets back healed and in good condition, that's the context that I was taking it in. That's the context that I was saying it as far as, will he wrestle another match? Or actually, it was should he wrestle another match? As far as the WWE is concerned, when he gets back into good health, he's most likely going to be wrestling the indies again. He's at 62 years old. He still wrestles independent shows. Actually, a lot of wrestlers who are in their 50s and 60s still wrestle independent shows. But he is one of those wrestlers who is still in good wrestling condition, and he still makes that move. So you have to understand those things. You have to take those things into consideration. He just doesn't work for the WWE. He most likely will be wrestling indie. So if he does, should he wrestle one more match in the WWE to get a proper send-off for his condition and to, you know, let everybody know that he, you know he was worth, I mean, because he's been with the company for 20 years nearly and hasn't had any really good break as far as an angle is concerned. All of his angles he came at the short end of, including the major ones, being Bret Hart, Jake Roberts, and recently Michael Cole. So give the guy some love, man. I mean, if he wants to go out there and wrestle, if he's in good health again, and I mean, this is, like I said, the disclaimer is good health. He will be in, if he's in good health again and in good condition to wrestle, he definitely, I mean, there's a very, very good chance that he'll wrestle the indies again. And, you know, should he wrestle the WWE to get a proper send-off? So all the comments, all the criticizing comments, take it into context, realize that, you know, people saying, no, he shouldn't wrestle a match. Okay, but he most likely will wrestle in the indies again, like he does again all the time. He wrestles the indies frequently. So understand, check the facts, understand everything before you make a comment as such. I endorse comments on Bleacher Report. It's a great site to write for. I'm so very privileged to be a featured columnist for the company, and definitely was nothing that was handed to me. I had to work my butt off for it and write some and be a good writer to be a featured columnist. So I definitely appreciate all the support and the reads and the comments, but be sure to keep it in context, though. Be sure to keep the comments civil and in context and understand the premise of the articles that I write. And definitely none of them are meant to be ill-willed. That's not my nature to be ill-willed, so understand that before just sometimes heinous comments are made. So just keep that in mind. Real quick, we'll finish up with the flavor of the week. Just got some ECW superstars that benefited from WWE's version of ECW. Big Daddy V was once Viscera and the Love Machine. Real quick, nobody has that answer for the Randy Savage and won his first WCW title. The answer was the Giant. And what female managed Randy Savage and the WCW after Elizabeth? So you can feel free to answer that as I go with the flavor of the week. Big Daddy V. Was his Viscera, very, very repackaged. Matt Stryker was his manager. Good idea. Looked like a monster when he came as Big Daddy V in ECW. Good job. Matt Hardy won the ECW championship. That was his only, quote-unquote, world championship in the WWE. I'm glad that they put that on him. To me, the ECW championship was a prestigious championship. It was, I mean, you know, eventually it became like the television title, so to speak. But, you know, it was a prestigious championship. It was a world heavyweight championship caliber title, not really recognized so much as that in the WWE. But it was definitely worth something. Being ECW champion is definitely a wonderful achievement to have. Matt Hardy had that achievement, so kudos to him. Kelly started off, she was 18 doing the little strip teases or whatever that she would did. That she did 18 years old and been in the business ever since. So I can understand why she would want a break from it, because she's been involved with it for so long. Bobby Lashley, he was ECW champion. Definitely honed his craft in ECW. Had a good feud with Umaga, the late Umaga. Wonderful man. Wonderful wrestler, Umaga. God rest his soul. And Big Show. kind of made a resurgence in the ECW as well. She wasn't in the best shape, but at the same time, he became ECW champion and had a really good heel persona to him, managed by Paul Heyman. Yoshitatsu made a little bit of rumblings in the ECW. Really kind of honed his craft in there too. William Regal definitely really kind of made a resurgence there. Had a tandem of Ezekiel Jackson and Vladimir Kozlov. That was a nice little heel stable that he had. Kane became ECW champion by defeating Chavo Guerrero, who's the next person I'm going to mention, became ECW champion. He was defeated by Kane at WrestleMania. And Chavo Guerrero, because he was out for a while and he came back and had a really good heel persona to him, and eventually won the ECW championship. CM Punk, I mean, that's where he started as far as his WWE stint is concerned. He really honed his craft and ECW. Zack Ryder, he made a name, his woo-woo-woo gimmick basically debuted in ECW. So definitely Zack Ryder. Jack Swagger, he really made his name in ECW, becoming ECW champion and eventually World Heavyweight Champion. Goldust, had some good feuds with Sheamus before Sheamus came to the WWE. Before Sheamus came to Raw. So definitely that. Sheamus is another person I would like to mention. He didn't have a short stint in ECW really at all, but that was really a catapult for him to become a star in the WWE brand, the Raw brand. Mark Henry became ECW champion, definitely made his resurgence in ECW. Christian, he was in TNA, and then he left TNA, and I was thinking that they would put him on SmackDown, but they put him on ECW, and it was a bit of a shock in the beginning, but, you know, eventually kind of panned out. I mean, it worked out for him. He really carried ECW for a while, it was definitely a good move for eventually, you know, with in hindsight, it was a good move for them to do that. And then lastly, Christian. Other than Christian, lastly, Tommy Dreamer. He was really the last of the Mohicans of the original brand of the ECW and the Night of Champions match that he won, a triple threat between him, Christian, and Jack Swagger for the ECW Championship was definitely a very emotional match that they had, and it was Extreme Rules, I believe it was. It was a very emotional match, and I definitely was in very much support of Tommy Dreamer being an ECW champion. He deserved it. He was the man in ECW and only had the championship for a very small time before, and in the ECW before losing the same night to Justin Credible. So, just a nice little subject to talk about. We'll have more Flavor of the Week coming soon. At next week's show, we will go back to Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Thank you so much for tuning in for us. Follow us at Crave Wrestling. Like us on Facebook at Crave. Like us on Facebook, Crave Wrestling. Follow and then follow us on Twitter at Crave Wrestling. Chris, any type of comments before I go to Bleacher Report? Any type of comments, just be sure to email, or any type of Flavor of the Week topics that you would like to hear, we'll pick one out and we'll say the name and who came up with it. CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Check me out on Bleacher Report. Chris Featherstone, check out my articles. Continue to support Crave Wrestling. Like I said, hashtag Crave Wrestling at Night of Champions. Enjoy the pay-per-view and enjoy this week of wrestling. And until then, God bless.